Welcome to Dancing with the Bards. My name is Ian, and I'm joined by my co-hosts for this episode, Will, Brooke, and Larry.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello.
Larry basically lives here now. We have a bed frame underneath the table here.
I haven't seen sunlight in 3 weeks.
And he will continue to not see sunlight.
I love it here.
Unless we get another... reach past our 600 downloads.
Yeah.
Gotta bring another 100, and then we're good.
This month, we're tackling one of the larger board games we've covered here on the Bards. Eclipse, Second Dawn for the Galaxy. In this 4X strategy board game, your goal is to end the game with the most victory points, which you can earn through resources, conquest, building settlements, or through diplomacy. The game lasts 8 rounds, and how you play depends on what alien species you have and how you plan on winning. The board is formed by exploration in a similar fashion to Zaya, with the center of the board that holds a large pool of resources protected by an Ancient One's battle station. For those who may not be familiar, like I was a week ago or so, 4X stands for Explore, Expand, Exploit, and Exterminate. I'd like to take a moment to ask Will and Brooke about their first opinions on the game. Both of you played this for the first time. Will, we'll start with you. I know you were keen to remind me you have extensive experience with 4X video games.
So that's true. 4X is my favorite genre in the video game world.
Nerd.
I am a nerd, yes. I like boring management games. I will say this was a little bit of a deviation from what I'm used to, but I would like to point out that a lot of the skills that you get in video games are transferable to the tabletop. The resource management was not as daunting as I thought it would be, especially with this game. Before I make any real judgments on the genre as a whole, though, I would like to play some more, but... overall, I thought this was a very enjoyable form of tabletop.
Okay.
I promise you I do have way more intimidating things up my sleeve.
Please.
And Brooke, I'm honestly not sure what your experience with this kind of stuff is, so I'm interested in your perspective.
So I've played Civ. These are the kind of games that scare me, just because with this genre, I've found the couple games I have played outside of Civ that I cannot remember the names of. They're very intimidating and they're very hit or miss with how they run. Like sometimes they get real clunky real quick unless you know the rule book real well. And I am not good at rule books, period. I was so nervous about this. I've watched YouTube videos on the subject. But it was good. I like this style of game because I don't have to fight anyone unless I want to. And I don't like fighting people.
It looked like you might have started a fight with Larry at one point when we were going through.
No.
We were both trying to kill the pirates.
Yeah,
that's
we were trying to make sure you don't win. And besides, as we'll touch on later, the plants need money desperately. Please donate.
The economy is in brambles.
The plant dollar is down.
That's because his faction took all the bananas.
I had all the bananas.
He had the bananas.
You had the bananas.
I just had all
Ian
the money.
Had the bananas.
Bananas
not well.
And pirates. Very 1700s?
Yeah.
1600s? Golden Age of sales, somewhere around there?
Yeah, 1500s, 1600s.
Yeah.
So we'll start off with a number of players. This goes from 2 to 6 with expansions for more that are not available in the U.S. currently.
I do recommend 3 to 6 because 2 players would be a nightmare.
Yeah, 2 seems not fun at all.
Empty.
Yeah. Empty.
Just 2 people exploring the galaxy, it sounds like.
Running
a tragedy,
the worst sci-fi.
Or like a Hallmark love story.
Can you imagine if Star Trek was just the humans and the Vulcans, or the humans and the Klingons, and that was it?
I feel like it would be a lot more simplistic.
Imagine how exciting Star Wars would be if it was just people.
Just all dudes.
Yeah. Just a bunch of macho dudes running around with light swords and like, that's it.
At some point, that becomes Dune.
No, you can't have worms. You can't have worms. So, no, it wouldn't be.
Fair.
The worm is just a bunch of people in a costume.
It's so sad.
It was just a big guy. Just a very big guy swimming through the desert.
Dune gets there.
I gave this a 3 for number of players. I felt that it's a decent enough range for...
Okay, I thought we were asking him about his opinions on the subject.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to get to you at the end, remember?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Well, we talked about this.
Because make me live under the table. You feed me scraps.
I
haven't even had a whole potato chip in 6 years.
Objection, leading the witness.
Larry has a different experience, so Larry gets a different question.
Fine.
I'm experienced.
I also gave it a 3 for number of players. I think the possibility to expand it up to 9 is one of the few games where this would be not just plausible, but potentially even fun.
Yeah, I gave it a 3 too, and you're absolutely right. I could see this game because it's very much about yourself and your management, not necessarily what everyone else is doing. That, like, I think you're good on having more players.
I also gave it a 3, but coming from experience, I'm experienced. Coming from experience, I have played a 9-player game of this, and while yes, it does sound like a lot of fun, there is a lot more conflict because you have the same size galaxy.
Oh, so I assume that they would have expanded out.
Nope, it gets messy real fast.
Okay,
based
never
around
mind.
Same hexagon system.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
I thought they would have added like a 4 or something.
But yeah.
So allegedly in second edition, they found a way to work around that, but I haven't seen it yet. So I can't really speak on how 9 players in this version would work, but 9 players in previous versions, while fun, is a absolute nightmare.
My one thing with 9 players, again, I haven't played it. You have. But I there were the star bases, the defensive structures. There wasn't really a need for them in smaller play.
Yeah, so
I feel like
those would work more as like defense towers, basically. Like you'd pop those down to be like, hey, if you want to come in here, you're gonna have to work for it.
Well, exactly. But I assume because there's more conflict, you're gonna be moving fleets more frequently. You don't have to have cruisers or dreadnoughts or what are the small ones? Interceptors. Yeah. You don't need to have any of your ships kind of protecting a planet. You can slap down a star base. Now you have it protected. It's set. It's good to go. I feel like we didn't really get to experience that with just a 4-player game.
Yeah.
But
one thing I will point out, another mechanic that might start to bog down with 9 players is this is still an 8 turn system. So instead of going from, you would go from 4 people who are going each turn to 9 people going each turn, things are going to slow down significantly. Our game was like 3.5 hours.
I know, and it was easily great. Best 3.5 hours of my life.
But imagine doing that. Well, that was with 4 people in an 8-turn system. Imagine 9.
Yeah, I can see this easily expanding into like 6-hour game.
Yes.
Like
so the thing with that, though, is also when you're doing a 9-player game, you're going to have a lot more player interaction.
This is true.
So, you know, your turns aren't going to... The one thing that we didn't really use, and I feel like this might be diving too far into, like, gameplay stuff, though, is we didn't really use the reactions. Nobody really felt the need to. Because nobody passed, and then someone did a little sneaky sneak and tried to go and take a system. But in a 9-player game, you're going to see that a lot more.
Yeah, before I allied with Will, I was thinking about using the reaction on a build to build ships on that perimeter we had. Just in case you went for that science planet that I stole from you?
Believe me, I really thought about it. There are multiple times where I was like, I could invade Ian. And
I was thinking great. Of new ways to panhandle.
Well, don't be broke. Don't be a broke-ass tree.
But I think the rest of my thoughts can be expanded upon in the gameplay sections.
Yeah, same.
But moving on then to inclusivity, I gave this a 3. I didn't really the colors were pronounced. There wasn't a whole lot of reading that was needed for players. All the pieces had very unique shapes to them. I don't really see any conflict with this. I mean, I guess if you're playing with younger kids, you can't really do that.
This is not a game for younger kids.
Yeah,
I think it is rated as 14.
14. It is rated 14 and up.
Yeah.
But that just seems to be like the board game standard for adult.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, I really didn't see any issues with it. But I'm feel free to point out my mistakes.
I gave it a 2.5 just because of the sheer amount of things to keep track of. Like, I would have enjoyed another copy of the rule book so you could have one on each side of the table so you could like go through it, which is something you can do on your own. They did have little tiny cheat sheet guides, which is always a plus for me. but just there was a lot of moving parts. And as someone who doesn't get to play very often, or this is the first time I have played, it would have been nice to be able to refer back and remember what things are and where they go. And it's a lot.
Yeah, there were definitely parts of the game where I maybe kind of struggled with understanding and organizing my play space. Specifically, like the VP, there was no real section for that. Other than that, I feel like the actual player card did a pretty good job at keeping me and telling me where I was and what was going on. But I gave it a 2. I think this is a relatively inclusive game.
So, shockingly, this is usually the category that scores a little bit higher for me, and I actually gave it a 2 in inclusivity. Just due to the fact that, like, I have to look at it from a perspective of someone who hasn't played it before, and I remember playing my first game of Eclipse, like, 7 years ago, even the first game of 2nd Edition, where they switched up some of the symbols. You had half of the table was played before, so we could look at, like, certain tech tiles and be like, that's what that does. But if this was my first time, there's a lot of reading.
Yeah.
Like, if none of us have played this before, you know how we were easily able to just throw out the tech and I'd be like, that does that. Imagine if you didn't know that.
Yeah.
Imagine if this is your first time opening this box and you see these, 9 in a row, 18, 27 strange little symbols that you're just like, I have no idea what the hell any of this does, but I think I want them. So,
what a cool thing that could have done is maybe even like given crib notes on the back of the tiles themselves for text, because there's no reason to flip them
but
over.
But now they're not double sided.
Yeah, that's fun. But like, I'd like to know what they are. Is like, it came up in the game. I was like, I know I wanted to grab something, but I couldn't remember what. If I could have turned it over and been like, ah, yes, this is the thing that gets +1.
Yeah, there's the weird little diagrams on them. But the thing is unless you speak, you know, board game language, you're not going to know what those are.
Yeah, but
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that, is what I'm saying, is that, like, coming into this fresh, it's not very inclusive unless you're very fluent in either, like, worker placement or 4X or something like that. So, yeah, shockingly, it got lower on inclusivity than almost everyone else. I usually shoot higher, so... Maybe I'm just evolving. I'm growing as a person because I couldn't grow as a plant.
So moving on to comprehension then. This is where I the stuff you guys are talking about for the like learning as a new player, this is kind of where I docked at a point. I felt that for the most part, as you got a hang of the game, it moved pretty smoothly for the most part. But I definitely docked at a point for comprehension because, one, I was listening to you talk about the disagreements you had with other players in the past with this game, of what the rules are. And two, and I think this ties back into that, the rule book is a mess. I got my chance to look through that when I was helping to set up initially, and it is so hard to read. It is so hard to read that rule book.
So I'll chime in on that too. It's a problem with a lot of these bigger games is that the rule book becomes very redundant very quickly. And as opposed to wording it like a book, they kind of more make it like an encyclopedia for these larger games where it's like, you'll learn more about this on page 11. Like, you could just put it there. You don't need to make me flip through 14 pages to figure out my first turn. So, yeah, but overall, I gave it a 2 for comprehension because, yeah, it's the lack of text available. One more thing on inclusivity really quick, the space font.
Yeah, I was about to bring that back up because I forgot about that.
It's flavor, it's cool, it's neat, but it's unneeded.
As someone with dyslexia, it was not fun. My little flavor of dyslexia hated the fact that they were not connecting, like, the D does not have a connecting. It looks like a backward C.
O, C, and Q are all the same letter in space.
Yep. And the is it kerning? I think it's kerning. The space in between the letters was just so close.
Mm. Yeah, the places they did have text were not appropriate places for text.
So I gave it a 1 for comprehension for mostly what I was saying with, like, it was hard to read. It was hard to follow along. Just
space font.
Yeah, the space font. There's so many space fonts out there. Like, I love fonts. There are so many great space fonts. And the one they chose was just egregious.
I still don't know.
They're also Finnish. You've seen their alphabet.
I guess.
Yeah. I also imagine being dyslexic. Still don't know what that bottom row of tech was. Like,
so that is, I touched on it once. Oh, that is special tech.
No, not the special tech. I mean, on the player card. Remember, I couldn't read it because it was like CVNY or something like that.
Oh, yeah. The nanotech?
Nano. I don't know how you get nano from that.
Like I said, C's, O's, and Q's are all the same letter in space.
It's bad. I docked to the full point for that alone. I
can't get my flavor.
Yeah. I need to know what I'm researching. So this is basically available anywhere online, right?
Yeah, literally just look up Eclipse Second Edition.
Yeah, so it's... I gave it a 2, because it is only something you can get online. The expansion stuff is not available yet. According to their website, this says end of March. But
only waited just a little bit longer.
Yeah. Well, it'll be one of those releases, yeah.
Yeah, so you guys will... You'll go back.
I mean, of course, it's all live performance, yeah.
Yeah, this is...
Oh, they know. Yeah, this is a podcast.
You mean we're not in their phone right now?
But I know that whatever they're eating right now on their lunch break smells delicious, but no, we're not there.
You should really stop going to Popeyes every day. It's not good for you.
But yeah, it's available. I wouldn't say you can get it anywhere online, but not anywhere, but there's a lot of different retailers that carry it. The problem is the price varies a lot between the retailers, and because it goes up and down from the current cost at, like, I think we'll cover it later, but it's like $175. But it's...
Yeah, it's like how you say it, it's $150 to $225. I like that this company has it in the middle, though. Like, when you buy it from them, it's straight down the middle of, like, pricing-wise.
Yeah. I mean, I gave it a 3 for availability just because, like, I don't know, I find it really simple to just Google the words Eclipse Second Edition. And then buy a copy.
Yeah, but some people like brick and mortar stores.
I mean, even past that. All right, put yourself in the shoes of somebody who maybe does not know that this game exists.
Yeah,
and you wouldn't really be...
Awareness would be a huge issue.
Yeah.
See, the thing is though, is I've seen this in brick and mortar stores, but you're only going to see it at like mom and pop game stores. This isn't going to be something that you go to Target or Walmart and it's going to be on the shelf.
Exactly, and I mean that's the only reason it gets docked a point. It's not a bad thing. It's just not. Yeah. It's not at Walmart.
Yeah. 2 out of 3 game stores that I frequent actually have it in stock.
Does our local one have it in stock?
I believe Nutmeg?
Yeah.
I don't think Steve could afford that.
That's fair.
I know.
Because they should get it in at the higher price tag. They need to redo their sign. It got destroyed in the wind.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. No, it's completely down now. I felt so bad. Like, you can see, like, where it was hanging on by a thread in one spot.
Oof. Yeah, no, that would be the 3rd out of 3.
Speaking of signage, materials.
It was great. I loved all of it.
Super high quality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They were fantastic.
We were making fun of the models just a tad.
Yeah, just a bit.
Spiky zucchini.
But you do have 4 unique models for each player.
Yeah, and the color choices were solid, too. Mm-hmm. Even your suspiciously colored, semi-transparent white.
Yeah.
Those should have been, you should have had the pirate ships, those, honestly.
I did watch those the first time that I opened it.
I will also, one of the things I really liked, and one of the reasons I was like, yeah, it's definitely a 3, is I was doing some of the cleanup this morning. Oh, and
wonderful, amazing box
control. So yeah, the box control is fantastic. They have each spaces for everything, and it's labeled how much, like on the player trays, it says you need 33 cubes in here, so you can count them as you put them in and make sure you have everything in the bin. It says you need 4 ships in this slot, 8 in this one, 2 in this one. It's very clear with everything. That it's very well planned out.
And the baggie was not made of plastic. They had the little drawstring baggie.
Yep.
It's not plastic. And, like, the inserts are not cardboard. They are plastic. So it all will be good for a while. Like, it's It's good for the price, and it's got good management systems that are going to last you a long time. You're not going to have to worry about things breaking down.
And on top of that, there's even like foam spacers for like certain things to be covered, and there's a little diagram that comes in the box that shows you like put it away in this order. It's fantastic. And all of the materials, yeah, the ship sculpts are awesome. Even the artwork on the tiles is very nice.
And we didn't use them, but you said there was actually like a small stand to lift off the ships.
That's under expansion stuff.
Oh, it's an expansion. Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was in the box.
No,
they're that's why you
always use those.
That's why I just thought that they broke or something with the way our friends play things.
No,
that's third party. Okay. So it's like the Etsy stuff.
So they
Well, no, there's an official one.
Is there an official one?
Yeah, because otherwise it wouldn't have the little spot. Like originally I thought it was so underneath the bigger ships, there's a small like I think it's a hexagon shape.
It's triangular
with like triangle? A curved top. Yeah. Okay. So it's like a little slot that you can, it looks like, I thought it was an imperfect mold. Like that was where the sprue holes were.
No.
But no, then I was told that it was to make them stand up. And,
I thought we were talking about the platforms.
Oh, no.
No. The platforms are cool, though. I did see them.
Yeah, those are neat. Anything to add to materials, Will?
No. I think I've said my piece. It's great, fantastic, awesome.
Pretty.
Very pretty.
Very pretty. So I did mention that they had a lot of great box control for this. I did give it a 2 for setup, just because even though it's very well done, it's still a lot of shit. There's a lot of pieces to manage. There's a lot of things to put away afterwards. Even with the best box management I've ever seen in a game, it's still a bit time consuming to set up and put away.
I actually gave it a 3 for setup just coming from games like this, which one of these days I will suck all of you into Twilight Imperium. That is
we're going to have to eventually.
That's my past.
Big, scary, big, scary Space 4X game.
And we all have our setups.
Setup for that is a nightmare because there is just as much shit and there is no box control and everything comes in plastic bags. And the tiles are not sorted, but they need to be specific, and it's just a disaster. So I gave it a 3 because, honestly, I'm able to look into the box and be like, okay, these are all labeled 3. They go in this stack. 2, this stack. 1, this stack. Everyone has their home planet in their tray. Just pop that down. There's arrows on all of the planets, so you know which way they face when you're setting up. Like, it is just the smoothest setup experience I've ever seen for a game this size.
I gave it a 2.5 just because of the teardown of it, which we don't have a section for teardown.
Yeah.
But that does take a while, but that's why it's so easy to take out the next time.
Yeah.
So as long as you're being proactive and listening to what they're telling you to do, your setup's nothing. It's all about takedown.
Yeah.
It really did feel like setup was not long, but complicated. I mean, I gave it a 2.
Yeah.
Just a lot.
Yeah. Overwhelming.
Overwhelming. That's a much better word. Thank you. I feel like if I were to have played it, you know, more, like, you know, several more times, then it might be a little less daunting, but it is definitely a lot.
Yeah, like I said, it's great box control. It's not hard setup. It's just a lot. There's a lot of moving parts, a lot of pieces. It adds up over time. I think it's really just the box size for me and the game size, because at a certain point, you can't have a game that large and expect to get a 3 in the setup.
Fair.
At least not from me.
I am kind of curious, though. Do you know offhand how much Twilight Imperium costs?
I believe retail is $190.
Okay.
I believe. I could be wrong on that.
I was hoping you'd say less because of the box management you described.
Oh, no, it's Fantasy Flight. They don't care.
Okay.
Fantasy Flight's just like, hey, you bought our product? Good. Suck it. Good luck. I mean, you've seen Cosmic Encounter. Even that, there's, what, like 50, 60 ships, and they're all just in a bag? Mm-hmm. And they give you one bag for 6 colors. And they're like, go at it, Chief.
Yeah, we talked about how the roll cards didn't fit in the slot that they made in the box for them.
Yeah, imagine that, but with about 700 pieces.
Fun.
I have 2 different tackle boxes for my copy of Twilight Imperium, because that's the only way I can sort that.
I see why you're going to skip this one, but I've already used my passes.
Well, I've played Twilight Imperium before.
Oh, I know you have, but I meant about the episode.
Yeah. I just don't want to play it again.
That's going to be the only game that scores a 10 for me. And wait, that would categories? Be... 1, 2, 3.
Well, four, you can five, also six, put 0 seven, points. Eight, Ian doesn't normally put 0 points.
You have to be pretty bad.
There have been some that I've put 0
points. There have been a couple every once in a while where I put a 0. But you have to intentionally, like,
you've got to earn something. That.
Yeah.
That was so. I was checking. There was one game that I knew we were going to give zeros across the board, which is a copy that I got from Gambit called Wonka Tonka, which was just, it was incredibly racist. Like, it was just real bad. but I thought I still had it, but apparently I did have, because I had kept it for years because of the podcast. I was like, I'm not going to give this away because we're going to use it eventually. And it's off my shelf now. So I must have at some point just gone like, no, I can't do it.
Damn, I would have loved that.
Oh, it was so bad.
That sounds gloriously awful.
Oh, I'll show you a picture of it later. I have a couple pictures of it.
All right, so rate of play.
Yeah. I mean, I was engaged the whole time. As long as you get into the habit of planning your turn while everyone else is going, you also have to keep an eye on what they're doing because it's going to affect what you're going to be doing next. So even when it's not your turn to do something, the turns go by pretty quick, and you have things to do in the meantime. So I gave that a 3.
Like plotting your next grift as the plant people.
So I gave it a 2. I was engaged. I do want to say that I never felt at any point in time the game began to drag. But my one concern would be if you had either more people or less people. I feel like that at the amount that we were at, we had kind of a perfect balance, and it kind of moved at an ideal speed. As you've brought up earlier, adding more people will kind of cause the game to chug a little bit. So I docked at a point kind of out of anticipation for it to slow down.
I mean, to be fair, most games will slow down when you add 9 people to it.
I gave it a 3. I thought we were only there for like an hour and a half, maybe tops. There was at one point we were like, yeah, how, like, it's kind of been like a half hour, 45 minutes, and we looked down, it was like an hour and a half later, and we were like, oh, okay. So, like, that's a sign for me that everyone is engaged, having fun, and the rate of play is going smoothly. Although there were a couple times I had to point to people to make sure that our rounds kept going, because we did have plans as a group afterwards to go somewhere.
Are you saying that some people got distracted, and maybe their
turns ended up taking a little longer? We all got distracted at some point. Like, everyone got distracted at some point. But as long as you have someone at the table that's excited to go and wants everyone to go quickly so it's their turn again, you're fine. You just have to get an enthusiastic player with your group.
Yeah. So I actually gave it a 2 for rate of play just because of people that I've played with in the past, which certain people will take longer. Certain people with 2 letters in their name. I don't know if you're listening. They end up taking a little bit longer than most people do for their turns, to the point where I played a 6-player game of this at one point, and half the table would leave when it was somebody else's turn because they knew how long it was going to take. And then that then had to evolve into me corralling those people back to the table when it was their turn. So I did give it a 2, but it really depends on your group. If everyone's engaged and everyone's having fun and everyone cuts their turns to, you know, about 3 minutes, 4 minutes maybe, it's fine. But there are people who will take longer, and some people do that because they're planning. Some people do that because they're not focused, but it can happen.
Or you're staring at a tile trying to remember what it does.
Yes, or you're trying to figure out what all the cool little space symbols mean. I have no idea what 2 arrows to the left and 1 to the right does, but whatever. I like it.
Isn't that cloaking?
Yes.
Hey!
Something stuck.
So, yeah, price. I shelled out for this, so I'll go first on it. I think I gave it a 2 because I've seen games of this size be less expensive and I've seen games of this size be more expensive. I feel like it's very middle of the road, though, for how streamlined everything is, for how nice the sculpts are, for how great the box control is and all of that. I think it's fair. I don't think it should be any less than it is, but I also don't think it should be any more than it is.
I gave it a 1 for price. I can't sit here in good conscience and tell you $175 is average for a board game. Just based on the stuff that I play.
Like, yeah, the materials are better than most board games. I will say that.
Do not get me wrong. They're great. Like, you're definitely getting your value for what you're getting. But 175 is still a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like at the end of the day, I mean, a lot of the board games I play are like 60, 70 bucks generally. So this is more than twice that price. And I also realize, by the way, that like there are plenty of games that are more expensive and that are in that same wheelhouse, especially like the 4X games tend to be pretty pricey. But yeah, I mean, just as far as price goes, that's definitely on the higher end.
Yeah, I gave it a 2. The materials are worth it. The reason, only reason I didn't give it a 3, because I think for the stuff you're getting, we've seen a lot of games at that $60 price range that give you really bad materials. Like this stuff, it's not, they didn't skimp on things, and you can tell that.
Mm.
So that being said, the 2 is only because of the drastic pricing range. Like that's what got me. You can't, like, I want a game to be consistently priced across the board, which unless you have a very strong company that says, this is the retail price, keep it around the retail price. Like they, that's, yeah. I just have an issue with that.
Yeah, the demand-based scalping.
Yeah, no, because there are companies that will say, look, this is the price I'm giving you for this. If you want to add like 10 or 20 bucks, that's fine. But if you do more than that, I'm not like giving you the game to sell. Like stronger, bigger companies do that. That's why big brands are consistent across the board. Exactly. Like Monopoly costs one price no matter where you go, with like a $5 or $10 difference tops. Unless it's like a antique mall. But
yeah.
I give it a 2. Not because I thought the game itself was overpriced, but more because I was looking at the price of the expansions. And I feel like $60 each for the two new race expansions is a little insane.
Well, so I think that's for both races, $60.
No, each.
It's each.
Ew.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little outrageous. And if the races are anywhere similar to what we already have, where it's going to be two dreadnoughts and like a handful of other smaller ships, it's not really enough to justify that drastic of a price. I'm
actually going to research that really quick just because I've seen games that like come out with new factions that then also add stuff for the old factions.
So there are other things, and Expanded Galaxy, the Warp.
Yeah, the other ones are like $11 each.
And those are the ones I've been led to believe add the mechanics.
I am under the impression that the ships are where the majority of this cost comes from.
Yes.
Based on the fact that all the other expansions are like $10 to $15. And then the one that includes the extra races with the ships and the cubes and all that stuff are suddenly like 65.
But
the expansions come with two species.
Yeah,
each. And they add new mechanics.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm not saying they're just that, but yeah, it's two species each. I think I wrote that on here.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Hold on.
You're not going crazy.
Will, you can't read.
While you read.
it's two extra species each. I'm sorry. When you wrote it like that, are both 65, add two extra species each. Oh, okay.
So also, you're a mini like painter.
Yeah.
I've spent on, I don't even know the game. I spent $45 on a villains game expansion. I have no idea what that game is, but I needed a Wendigo that looked good. Like they can, and that's a small little thing. I paid $45 for essentially three minis. So that's
cheap.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, real talk. I've been there. I mean, I'm trying not to weigh it on just the value of the minis, because the value of the minis would tell me, I mean, how many for base game, how many different factions do you get?
Six.
So that's a good amount of minis right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good deal. For the additional two, all right, you've convinced me. I'm gonna give it half side. All right, 3.5 now.
two and a half.
I can count, I promise.
And we convinced you that hard.
I agree with the pricing. I just agree that the pricing should be consistent. Like, it would have gotten a 3 if it wasn't so drastic. For an in-print game.
Yeah.
An out-of-print, fine, but in-print game, this shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. I mean, there are small, like, I don't even know what else they've made.
It's actually quite extensive. I don't have the list in front of me, but they've made several games. At least one of I'd heard it before.
I wouldn't mind checking out some of their other games, because if this is, like, I'm sure this is their baby, just the way it's, like...
Yeah.
Because they've done two editions of it.
Yeah. And they've made it better over the editions. Like, they went back, rewrote, and made it more streamlined. Like, this is their baby. But I'd be curious to see if this box management and this quality is across the board as a company for them.
Yeah, I'd be interested in seeing that, too. Since we've already kind of approached the subject, extras for this. So there are plenty of expansions. It came with expansions that, for the U.S., were exclusive to Kickstarter initially. They've released a bunch more since then, but when I went on their site, it was all pre-order only. And according to the site, they're set to ship March 31st. Which will be the day this podcast comes out.
Can we do it?
God willing.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed we can do it maybe the day before so we can capitalize on this. But, you know, have a Wingspan part two, maybe.
Please, dear God, no.
But, yeah,
Wingspan
there's...
Wingspan did good.
Oh, Wingspan did good?
Wingspan was the episode that, like, we got randomly a lot of people because an expansion had come out close around that time.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the audio issues still.
No, audio issues, no. That's something we always have. But, like, we got a bump from just the world.
But, they have several different ones. They have a expansion that adds, like, minor species and ambassadors, special weapons and ship parts. As we said, the two different expansions with the two races each. They have ones that add special warp tile features, and ones that add expansions for extra players. So I gave this a 2.5. The only half point is just because the last expansion they had came out in 2023 and is still not available here. None of them are. This launched in, I believe, 2020.
I am not mad that America's getting something last for once. Like, as a worldwide community, we get most of the stuff first. So I'm okay with it coming slower.
And that is absolutely fair. But have you considered USA, 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 USA?
It's nowhere near July. We can't be this pumped.
I gave it a 3.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm actually on their website right now. Ian, you forgot quite a few things that they actually do have, even on their website. There is an insane amount of stuff looking through this.
So these were I just went through the expansions based off of Board Game Geek, and I then had to look up each one individually on the website and convert the prices over to US dollars.
Did Board Game Geek mention their kick-ass polos?
No, I usually don't include that kind of merch.
You have to look up, because we did what was it called? We're Not Really Strangers.
Yeah.
They have hoodies and breakup cards. Oh, and
these dudes have polos.
Oh, right? Yeah, no, I saw. Yeah.
They have breakup cards?
Yeah, it's like a little card you can send out to someone.
No 1X. You can be kind of big, but you can't be kind of big. You can either be a large or a 2X.
I think that's... has to do a lot with their initial base of people, which are not Americans.
Still, the no 1X, but they did account for 2X, is a little odd. You know what? 2.5 points. Yeah.
I gave it a 3, though, because of everything. And I have a lot of respect for people that go back and rework and have a second edition. Like, to me, that means that's an extra, that they went back and streamlined it and didn't make it the horror fest I saw on YouTube, the first video I looked up.
Yeah, that means that they actually want their game to succeed. They weren't just like, here it is, we're done, good luck.
That, with all the other extras, is just insane to me that someone cares that much. Usually people put it out and go, ooh, I'm done.
Yeah, no, I mean, just for the sheer volume of extras, I mean, I gave it 2.5. I would have liked for them to be available here to get that full 3 points, but...
Patience will...
I am not a patient person.
Then go to Finland.
I will. I discovered this game.
Or the UK, because they also have it. So there's English versions out there.
Yeah.
Finnish?
Yeah, okay. I was about to make sure it wasn't.
I'm going to.
You can't get it here.
Learn Finnish. It's and then you're good.
It's in England right now.
Barely knows English.
Yeah,
that's right. J'ai parlé vous français.
See?
Oui. Yeah, that's not English.
He's just out here speaking Portuguese.
Speaking French.
I know.
It's like I'm back at school. I'm at work right now.
Oh, no.
Enjoyment. Oh, wait. Did you want to add anything to our conversation?
No, I'm good. Okay. I thought you meant for enjoyment, because okay, it looks like I'm the odd one out.
For enjoyment, can we all just say ours on the count of three?
Okay, you're out of this, though.
One, two,
three.
Hey.
1.5. Like, I don't know why. I was engaged the entire time. I got second place.
I thought you got first,
but it was a hollow victory.
Yeah.
All of these points still do not fill the hole in my heart.
They don't. I stayed engaged throughout the entire process. Like my autistic brain was on point, looking at every part of the map at all times, but it's exhausting, but I can't take it easy. I have to win. So I don't know. I just can't enjoy it and do good at the same time. If that makes any sense.
It's how I feel about the damn lying games. Like, this just isn't your style. There's a reason why I'm over here being the party bard and just like, let's all have fun and winners are kind of whatever. And you are very much like, you want there to be defined. I don't know. I see what you're saying.
I also will say I've had bad experiences with 4X games before. It's a lot about who you play with.
Yeah.
And I was not necessarily the best group for like our the stuff we used to play at the WestCon board game club and stuff.
Just didn't mesh.
Yeah,
because these are very competitive. It can definitely like it with the wrong people. It could end up like a family night at Monopoly.
So no, I gave it a 3. I really enjoy just the 4X genre in general, and this is a very well put together 4X game. There's not a lot of weird mechanics. There's not and everything always feels very close. You know, it's never, there's a lot of 4X games I've played where people can just get absolutely smoked. Like, you know, you end the game with 2 points and the guy next to you has 70. That doesn't happen in this. And that's a huge enjoyment factor, because as someone who's very competitive, you can kind of look at the board and calculate your points if you know how to, and you know where to make up points. So, yeah, no, I gave it a 3 overall for enjoyment.
Can you share what you called it when we were talking about it? Like, you said this, like, I'm not a big person who plays a 4X genre.
Yeah.
But, like, you explained it as, I think it was baby's first 4X.
Yeah, baby's first
4X. Yeah, and that's, like, the perfect way to put it and why I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I would enjoy more of the genres if it was a whole thing for me, but, like,
I have one you might enjoy, because it's all animals, so
I do like animals.
Yeah. It's a good gateway game.
Which one?
Dominant Species.
Oh. Okay.
The name might scare you, but there's not nearly as much violence as the name suggests.
I didn't think it would be violent, but, you know, that's just my background with that word anyway.
So, who would you recommend this to?
Pretty much anyone who wants to try out a 4X kind of game. You know, it coming from playing a lot of these games, I have a lot of 4X stuff in my library, and this is probably the one that I'd be like, hey, you want to give one of these a shot? This is the one. So I gave it a 2 on recommend, just because I understand it's not everyone's speed. but if it's something that's in that genre, or even if you just like the theme of space or the theme of like managing a colony or anything like that, it does it very well.
I gave it a 2 as well, but for the reason Ian mentioned, if you don't have the right people, it's not going to go well. And if you don't have someone who knows how to play it, it's going to be very difficult the first couple times.
That it was.
Yeah, same sort of reasons. I feel like you need sort of like a guide for these larger games, attempting to tackle it on your own. I mean, if you're that kind of person, by all means, but I know at least in our friend group, it's very rare that we pick up a brand new game without anybody telling us how to do it, and we get everything right the first time.
Yeah, well, that's why we started the podcast, was to help with things like that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I gave it a 1 for recommendation. For a lot of the different reasons. I mean, one, it's a hard sell to someone who might have only played this once before to say, yeah, you should absolutely drop $150 on the lowest amount you can find on a secondhand seller, or even just buy it from the original company at $175 for this game that you'll need about 4 people to play at least for a good game that are able to kind of stay in focus for a 3-hour potentially game. I feel like it's a very small group of people I would recommend it to.
That's fair.
I don't know. I'm always up for recommending new things that might to people that might not believe they're interested in it. Like, I thought Brooke was going to absolutely hate this. I fully expected her to be sitting there like, oh, just there's only 8 turns, but there's forever.
And as long as I can, like, not fight people, I'm usually good.
Yeah.
I stayed in my little corner and fought some pirates, and I was like, happy little camper.
And the plants thank you for that. Just leave change on the ground next time.
Pirates are my friends.
Belong in Spencer's gift store only. The shape of them were interesting.
Suggestive.
Oh, just a little. Only if you're a girl, though. Like, you guys didn't pick up on it. It was only me that was like, those look like something else.
Oh, no, I picked up on it, but I wasn't... It's not my place to, you know, determine what may or may not look
like. Marital aids are for everyone.
I am doing fine. I'm just going to...
are you, Larry?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Anyways... Moving on.
I think that for the value of the game, though, for replaying it, I think it is. I give it a 2 for that. I feel like it is more or less worth it if you have a group that you can play this with consistently, and it better be for that amount of money. But like, I feel like, because we've played it twice now since you got it like a month ago.
Yeah.
And I know you played it more than that.
Yeah. This is my 4th time with second edition. So
clearly, if this is your thing, it's worth it. I wouldn't say it's worth it to everyone, as my recommendation would suggest. But if this is something that you're interested in, you should go for it. And it's definitely worth what you pay for, as long as you have a consistent group to play with.
Yeah, I gave it a 3. It gave very much the vibes for me, like when I was playing the Stardew Valley board game, where it was like something that I would want to do consistently with a group of people, like, and just keep it around always. Yeah. So I definitely, as of right now, I would see a lot of replay out of it.
Now, there was one clarification that I wanted to ask, because I noticed that the faction cards were double-sided. Are those different factions?
We played fun version. There's fun version and there's boring version.
You can play as just humans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so you can choose to...
The humans just don't have any special abilities and everyone's the same across the board.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was included in the 6 or not.
Yeah.
But I still gave it a 3 for replay value. I feel like with even not taking into account that there's a boring version now, the way the board is created, the way you have to explore and manage things, the different elements of each faction really kind of keeps the game moving and keeping it feeling fresh going like with each replay.
Oh, yeah, I gave it a 3 for replay value because, like most of these types of games, the board is modular. You know, you're never going to have the same board. You're going to have consistent pieces. You're always going to have the Galactic Center. You're always going to have the home planets. You're always bound to run into at least some amount of pirates. But the fact that there's, I believe, for the 3 tiles, it goes up to 32. We played with 16 of them. That's 16 that we just never even seen. And then same thing with the second ring, there's like 4 extra. And for the middle, I believe there's 3 extra. So you're always going to see something different when you play. And that's going to have you make different strategies. You know, like there will be some games where certain races just won't have an economy.
I don't know. Yeah. To be fair, I had the same problem playing the plants.
Yeah.
I could not make any money for the life of me. And it slowed down my beginning game progress like crazy. Which is bad because every race has like a different ability that helps it win. And the plants are like, you have to spread out to colonize the most amount of worlds. And for every one you have colonized, you can gain an extra point.
Yeah.
But every time you set down a settlement, those tokens count against you for the amount of gold you pay per turn, which seems counterintuitive for races that cannot.
They have no opposable
hold thumbs. Down a job.
They don't have opposable thumbs. How are they supposed to like hold a job and hold their money?
I mean, I managed to eventually get myself out of the spinach line, but it did take a while.
Orbitals. That's how you do it.
Exactly. But if those don't come up in tech and the advanced economy doesn't come up in tech,
then
you're done for.
And that's kind of what I was getting with the replay value is like, because you have the different ways to play. You have the fact that all the tech that comes out is randomized and the tiles are randomized. So you're not necessarily going to be playing the same game twice.
Which could lead to very, very bad experiences.
And then you just mulligan. Like, if it's not working, just scratch the game and start over.
Yeah. Well, you need to get everyone at the table to agree to that.
But that's fair. I mean, depending on the group again.
Yeah, some of them might be doing pretty well.
But I'm sorry. It's no fun when you see one of your friends struggling. It at least for me.
We need to play games more often.
Yeah.
I need to learn that lesson.
Yeah, no, if not everyone's having fun, I'm out. Like...
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
I make sure
I'm not cutthroat in games.
I make sure that nobody is humiliated while I'm playing.
I will specifically like take turns badly if I know someone's not having a good time to give them a leg up again.
I don't do the exact opposite of that.
I just want to like throw out that Brooke, you're too good for us.
We are all very much kick them while they're down kind of people.
And maybe it's my work that has taught me this.
You're lucky, Will, that I didn't have the proper tech for ships, or I would have started invading you despite getting a traitor token for it.
You're lucky you had a good day at work.
I mean, I welcome it. I had way more ships and way more production.
I was waiting for the very end of the game for those colonies you had on the border of mine, because I could just influence those and take them from you at the very end. And all your ships were going for the Galactic Tenor.
Yeah, like the reason I wanted to get an alliance with you was so you could get some more money.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But
that was the sole reason, was like, he needs more money to have fun with this. And like, I happily got last place and still felt accomplished by the end of it, beating my little ships up, my pirate ships. But like...
No, I've played with a lot of people who will use an alliance as a means to backstab people.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't even cross my mind.
Yeah. That's why, even when we were setting it up, I was like, I'm not allying with anyone until at least turn six. Because I want to make sure that if you do decide to backstab me, I have what I need ready.
On to the sliding scales. I give this a 3 for innovative. I felt like it's a great example of an innovative game. I have nothing else on that. It just is.
It is. I give it a 2 for innovative. Mainly just because coming from a video game world and seeing the same sort of needed skills being transferred into a tabletop world, they handled a lot of things really well. I particularly really liked how they handled the resource generation and resource management with that little like card where you place the cube and that gives you the new value. It makes it so much easier. I thought every turn I'd have to be sitting there and counting my cubes and figuring out what was where and how much of what is giving me what. And it just kind of did everything. You have the little thing at the track on the side. Everything just made sense.
You should have been here the day before we had sliders, because then you just put 3 different cubes on a board. That's incredibly slick. And then anytime you breathe on them, all of a sudden you're making more or less money.
I did really like the way the sliders stacked nicely.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
One thing I do want to add to your point about the innovative thing is that you brought up the whole like video game scene. And honestly, if this was a video game, I probably wouldn't have touched it, because I'm like, oh, it's another Space 4X game. The same thing like whenever, like, I remember just touching on video games really quick when Lies of P came out. I was like, oh boy, another Soulsborne. But then I played it and I loved it because it wasn't just that. So, yeah. I gave it a 2 because it does enough different things, but it doesn't blow me away in innovation. But it does do things differently. It does do things smarter than most.
For sure.
Yeah.
I gave it a 3. Just the box management blew me away.
Mm.
So it was innovative in gameplay as well as in the care they took for the actual game. And to me, that's... compared to some of the thing we've seen, very innovative.
It's not just a big box with no trays.
So, like, even like the minutiae, and I'm always more the materials person. I will talk you off till you're blue in the face about it. But it hit all the points I needed it to.
The board management was definitely one of the big reasons for my 3 score, just to see how easy all of the resource management was. Because that's a big thing for me in these kinds of games is, like you said, they're not all made equal.
No, they're not. Twilight Imperium is a better game, but a way worse time. All right.
For our other scale, simple to complex, I gave it a 2 complex. Like, it was complex in a good way, but just after a while, you're trying to sit there and remember what things are, and it bogged because of the complexity.
Kind of similarly, it's definitely good complex. It's not great complex.
Yeah.
No super villain arc here.
What?
There's no, like, super villain arc where you're like, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this is going to do this later.
Yeah, I do think that there is a it's important to make the distinction between this is a 4X and other games that are a 4X, but they're more like a grand strategy 4X, where you'll see stuff like that, where you know, you have to plan, you know, several turns in advance and then have everything line up so that one thing fires off after another, and then you have this whole big win condition. This was very much just like survive until round 8, do the best you can.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the game for that. At no point in time did I don't know.
I gave it a complex 2 as well. I think we're all pretty much at that point, right?
Yeah.
But my big thing was everything seems so streamlined for the most part, with the exception of like the special techs, which kind of like threw a wrench into the workings of rules. And I think we're the biggest points of contention for like rules variations and arguments between players of, well, what does this do and how does that affect this? Yeah. It just kind of throws a wrench in the whole thing. But other than that, everything else was very, very smooth. And it was a good example of a complex game.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 1 for complex, but I always do have to take my background into account with these sorts of things. So I did bump it up to a 2. I mean, obviously, if you play stuff like Sorry and Trouble, and then you go into this, you're going to be like, I have no idea what's going on. But if you've played games that kind of hit that scale more towards larger games, it's not the biggest jump. It's not this massive leap of strategy and planning and all that. It's very smooth. It eases you into it. It's not like a huge dive right off a cliff into complexity.
Yeah.
Can I get everybody's totals?
Oh, yeah. Let's do final scores.
Now that the phone is back in my hands and not on the floor.
So I gave it a 33.
I gave it a 36.
33.
And 31 for me.
That is surprisingly tight from us.
Oh, yeah. That didn't work. Sorry, one more time, guys. Came out as 100.
What was it? 33, 33, 36, 31. That is going to be 34, if I'm not mistaken. 34.25, I think.
Yes. I'm doing something. Yes, it is right. Yeah.
Hey!
34.25.
I no longer have to bring my phone. You can just view the calculations for us.
No.
That's a bad idea.
It's bad.
These numbers were all close together.
Exactly.
Yeah, that didn't skew too much, despite the fact that I actually thought mine would be a lot lower than your guys, but.
And stick it, Larry. I had the highest score.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm shocked you enjoyed it as much as you did.
I got to do my own little thing.
All right, so it's time for Larry's question now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So you've had a lot of experience with games like this in the past, so. If someone were to hear about this and they like what they hear, or maybe they've taken the time to play this and they're looking for more, since we're not always going to be covering these all the time on the podcast, what games would you recommend kind of in this wheelhouse?
So for something that's probably about the same skill level, I would throw out, it depends what you're looking for. So if you're looking for something that's a little more player involved and a little more combative, maybe something like Dominant Species wouldn't be a bad choice. That's a really fun kind of like a lot of player interaction, but not a lot of combat. If you really like the economy building and the kind of doing your own thing, Scythe is a great choice, which I know Will's mentioned in the past he wants to try Scythe.
I do want that.
And knowing the speed of game that Brooke likes, I think Scythe would be a really good choice as well, because it's very much a game where you can kind of just mind your own business and do your thing. And, I mean, of course, there's the grandfather of them all, Twilight Imperium, which I will get you guys to do at one point, but that is a very large, intimidating, dense game. There's also smaller strategy games. The Tiny Epic games do a great job of like taking something like this and condensing it down to 45 minutes. Those are awesome. They're about the size of like a travel makeup pouch. They're very, very small. And they're quick, they're easy, and they hit all the bases. So yeah, there's quite a few options out there, though. Honestly, if you kind of just look for strategy in general, you can get a good feel by just looking at what the board looks like.
All right.
Can I make a quick plug first?
Yeah.
If anyone does want to play this game and wants to go over the rules, I was watching RTFM on YouTube. They have a 25-minute demo of how to play, and it's done really well, and it does really help. So if you're interested and you're like, oh my gosh, where do I even start to make sure that this is a game that I find worth it, his video very much was helpful.
Ooh, one more game to add to. If you really like the economy side of things from this and you really enjoy the, like, you know, just the management stuff, Terraforming Mars, excellent. But there's no real, there's a lot of player interaction because there's gonna be a lot of people doing things that you wanted to do on your turn, but there's no combat. It's all just management. And that's it.
Brooke just perked up. I mean, this, you mentioned Scythe before. This game was almost going to be a Scythe until you got the copy of Eclipse.
Yes. So Scythe, my problem with Scythe is that it's an example of a game done well with very, very bad rules compared to what that company has put out, because it's the same company that did Wingspan. And that rule book is excellent. And the rule book for Scythe, I've played Scythe maybe about 30 times now, and half the time I still have no idea what the hell I'm doing. So
that's not good.
But mechs.
Maybe Scythe too. Maybe they can do what they did with this game and just kind of go back and update.
Well, there is a, they constantly do update the rules for Scythe, but they haven't come out with a second edition.
Oh, okay.
So there is a bunch of like errata and FAQs and stuff. So.
Okay. So at least they know that there's a problem and they're trying to address it.
Yeah.
All right. That's a wrap. Another episode of Dancing with the Bards. I want to give a quick shout out to the fan that approached Will and I recently. We always appreciate hearing feedback, and it was great talking to you. If anyone else wants to get in touch with us, you can join our Discord or find us on Twitter, Mastodon, Blue Sky, or Facebook. And you can email us at dancingwiththebards@gmail.com. That's it. That's all we got.
Bye.
Woo! Bye.
Have a good one.
We love you.
The chair is so loud.
I know. Everything I own is loud. I'm loud.